Hi, welcome to Live and Run with Dorcas, Activating the Inner Man Through Word and Action. Welcome to Episode 6 and Season 1. This is a show that comes to you every Sunday at 6 p.m., a platform where we get to discuss mental health issues, health and lifestyle, motivation, and inspirational stories from all walks of life. Today we'll be looking at something which is so cardinal: anxiety. You know, worry that is just irrational to the situation that triggers it. Everybody gets worried. I get worried, and I believe you out there get worried as well. But then, what is anxiety? What differentiates anxiety from the normal worry? So, anxiety has this severity. It's there for a long time in terms of the duration. Anxiety is there for a long time compared to normal worry. And, you know, anxiety is a normal response to objects, situations, or events that are threatening. It's okay to respond with anxiety, but if there's this perseverance in terms of the anxiety, then that becomes a problem, because anxiety significantly interferes with social or occupational life, meaning your work, your school, and just your social appearance gets interfered with, because there is so much worry, you know, there's so much irrational fear going on around you. So we are discussing anxiety. Remember, you can leave a feedback by leaving a message right here on Anchor, or you can drop me a message on my WhatsApp, or better still, you can still drop me an email. I'll be able to share with you my email address in the description for this episode. So what are the signs and symptoms of anxiety? So like we said, anxiety has to do with worry, but it's different from worry because of its severity, or in terms of its duration and intensity at the end of the day. So symptoms of anxiety includes poor concentration or attention. You know, when someone is filled with so much fear, when they're filled with so much worry, they get to pay less attention. This could be to their day-to-day lives. It can be at work, it can be at school, it can be at any event. There is just reduced attention. There's disorientation, and there are just these feelings of apprehension where you feel, okay, maybe something bad is going to happen, something bad is going to happen. And when you look at these symptoms I have shared out, these are more of a cognitive, you know, it's more of the sense of impending danger and feeling of inability to cope. So this is more mental, or this is more psychological, when you talk of the feeling of apprehension, disorientation, and a perceptual disorder. We also have other responses which can fall under physiological responses. These are more like biological responses to anxiety, and they include headaches, chest tightness, heart palpitations, you know, feeling like, you know, your heart is beating so fast, you know, your heartbeat is irregular, you know, diarrhea, tremors, respiration, and this is restlessness. So these are physiological responses. So you find that someone maybe is in an open place, and then they have this head, you know, they have palpitations, and they just can't get hold of the situation at the end of the day. And in most cases, you find that the person starts avoiding certain situations because it brings an impairment to their task performance. So anxiety is something that we have all experienced at one point or the other, or we have been with people who actually present with those symptoms. So in terms of how it occurs, you know, there are certain mental health disorders which are common in elderly people. Some are common in young people. So when it comes to anxiety, it's actually reported that it begins early in life. It begins early in life, you know, and it's reported more in women than men. I don't know why it's more in women than men, but that from the reports that have been reported, from the research that has been done, it's more prevalent in women than men. Women, we gotta put our emotions together so that we should reduce the prevalence for anxiety in us. Yeah, so those are the prevalences. It begins early in life and it's more common in women. And people with anxiety disorders are 3 to 5 times more likely to seek medical attention than people with these other psychiatric disorders. So people with anxiety are more prevalent to seek medical attention compared to other people. And you might be wondering, okay, so we've heard that the people who get scared of open spaces, we've heard the people who get anxiety because of maybe their past traumatic events. So are there any types of anxiety? Well, yes, there are types of anxiety, and there are basically 5 types of anxiety, but I think I'll concentrate on 2 or 3, because there's generalized anxiety disorder, there's panic disorder, there's obsessive compulsive disorder, and there's post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as phobias, just fear in general. Yeah, so when you take off the generalized one, this is more persistent and generalized excessive feelings of uncontrollable worry about everyday activities. So when you talk of generalized, like the word itself, this is generalized feelings of worry, you know, and apprehension, like on everyday activities. It's not attached to any specific event. And, you know, it can occur for as long as 6 months, whereby every day somebody is worried about something. Every day somebody feels like, no, something bad is going to happen. What am I going to do if it happens in this way or the other way? And there's just this sense of impending disaster, you know, whereby they feel like, no, something bad is going to happen. No, let me avoid such a place. Let me do that. Like, yeah, fear is okay, but this can go on for 6 months, which makes it abnormal. So we have to look out for such signs. And for generalized anxiety disorders, their onset is actually 20 years. Like most people, as they turn 20, as you graduate from teenagehood to adulthood, yeah, you know, you're 20, you don't know what to expect. You know, you don't know if maybe you have a lot of responsibilities on your head. You don't know if you're going to go to college. You don't know what you want to do with your life. And I think what also contributes to anxiety at this stage is, you know, comparing your life to other people's lives, because you find that some people at 20 could seem to have a more stable life than yours in terms of their finances and how they just deal with things. So this is very common at the age of 20. So if you're 20 and you're listening to this podcast, please just take your time, take a chill pill. We don't have destined mates in life, so don't have so much anxiety on what to expect, on what you become, or what you have to do. Just take one day at a time, one day at a time, and everything just falls into a place. So people with a generalized anxiety also have symptoms for anxiety, such as easily fatigued, you know, difficult in concentrating. There's muscle tension, and there's also sleep disturbances. So they know they don't get to sleep a lot because, you know, they're just filled with worry, and there's just this irrational apprehension that they have, which is not even equivalent to the situation that is around them. And we also have what we call panic disorders. Yeah, like from the word panic, you know, this is like abrupt onset of intense fear or discomfort, which takes approximately 10 minutes, but some symptoms may last much longer. So they're just people who get into a panic attack, and it can be due to different reasons at times. You know, all of a sudden somebody will have heart palpitations. They feel like their heart is pumping faster. They start sweating. You know, there's shortness of breath, and you know, there's nausea, dizziness, and fear of dying. You know, someone just gets into this panic episode. So panic disorders are also common in young people as well. So there are those which are unexpected. You know, they just come out of the blue. Somebody's busy with their day-to-day schedule and boom, they're in a panic attack. But there are some which are situational, whereby an individual just gets this attack, maybe when they are exposed to certain atmospheres, like maybe in a place which is too congested, then they can have a panic attack. But this can be controlled, though some of these attacks are actually genetic. You find that maybe there's a family member who had a panic disorder, and you have an increased risk as well of having that panic disorder. So, and it usually comes up especially during a life event which is stressful. You find that people will just start having random panic disorders. But if you have someone who you're in a situation whereby a friend or a relative has a panic disorder and you are in an open place, all what you have to do is, if there's a piece of paper nearby, or it can be plain paper or any paper which is a bit hard, you can actually roll it and make it into a fan, into a cone, like a cone shape. And then you just like put it on their mouth, you let them breathe through that cone you've made. It actually relaxes them faster. Before you even get to the health facility, you can actually control their panic disorder in such a way. And at times it might be, you know, separation anxiety. You know, the people who get separated from their families at a tender age, it could be due to death or maybe divorce or separation of parents that also contributes to panic disorders. And for these ones, they're a bit common in mid-30s. Yeah, in mid-30s where people get to be exposed to different life situations, those that they didn't know, maybe they didn't know that they're going to go through that, and things just happen out of the blues. It actually takes a lot of people into panic disorders. And other stuffs which can trigger these situations, like I said, are crowded malls, theaters, or auditoriums. They're just people who get scared just looking at a lot of people at the mall. They feel like, no, maybe everybody's looking at me. Maybe a thief will come from nowhere. And then what am I going to do? Where am I going to run from? So there's just this fear all of a sudden, you know. And it's so irrational. But what we can do at the end of the day is to look out for these symptoms. And if someone is presenting with such symptoms, help them seek medical attention as soon as you can. Yes, so these panic disorders can actually be treated with antipsychotic drugs. Yeah, and also they can be treated using relaxation techniques, you know, breathing techniques to help reduce these attacks. Apart from that, they're what we call obsessive compulsive disorders. I won't talk much about it. I want to talk about post-traumatic stress disorders, but let me just talk a bit about OCDs, because you know they're very common. So OCDs are characterized by uncontrollable obsessions and compulsions, which a client usually recognizes as being excessive or unreasonable. So the client himself realizes, say, okay, these are so excessive and reasonable. So these obsessions, recurrent and persistent thoughts, impulses or images, experienced at some time during disturbance. Then when that thought or an image comes, it's actually paired with or responded to using a compulsion or compulsions. So there's an obsessive behavior which the reaction becomes something which is compulsive, more like a repeated ritual performed to an obsession. Yeah, that's OCDs. Example of obsessive compulsive disorders are cleaning. You know, the people who like repeatedly wash their hands, you know, they feel like, you know, they are so they too, and they'll keep on washing their hands, like maybe they can wash their hands for 30 minutes. And the good part is these people actually realize that, okay, this is abnormal. So that's why in the first place I said a client reports, because they know that what they're doing is abnormal. So you find that some have got this obsession of cleaning. So you find they'll be washing their hands like for 30 minutes. And imagine if it's in a public place, you are waiting to use the bathroom, then someone is just there washing their hands for 30 minutes. So don't get worried. Don't be upset when you go out next time and you find such a person. Please understand that, okay, this is a mental disorder. So there's actually, apart from cleaning, the people who have got this obsessive behavior of checking, and these individuals may check several or hundred times to make sure that things have been put in place. You find that maybe someone locks the door and they'll just keep on going back to the door to check, did I lock the door? Did I lock the door? You know, they can actually do that like 20 times, which is so abnormal, because it's okay when you lock the door and then maybe you start watching a movie and then you're like, oh, did I lock the door? You wake up and you check if you've locked the door, that's okay. But the moment you keep on checking if you have locked the door 20, 30 times, and that becomes an OCD. And repeating, some repeat a name, phrase, or action over and over again. I had such a friend who had OCD, and she kept on repeating a phrase. Like when you say something, she'll be repeating that phrase over and over and over again. And you get to know that, okay, this is not normal. There is something beyond this, okay? So we have to look out for such symptoms and be there for people who really, really need medical attention. And some individuals are just slow, and others have got hoarding. Hoarding is being unable to throw away useless items such as old newspapers, junk mails, or even broken appliances. I actually have a cousin who had OCD. So you find that these people don't throw away odd stuff. You know, something as old as a newspaper for maybe 15, 10 years ago, they're still keeping it. A broken appliance is still in their house. They still feel like, no, this is my thing. I still have to look after it. So that is OCD. So look out for these signs. If you're having any of the same signs or symptoms, please make sure you seek medical attention. So it's actually a cycle. You know, it's actually a cycle. So this is where, you know, you have this obsession. When this obsession comes in, you know, there's anxiety, and then there's this compulsion. You know, if you feel like your hands are dirty, then they'll start washing their hands for 30 minutes. And after doing that, there's actually a relief. Then again, the cycle starts again. So you might be wondering, okay, who experiences OCDs? So OCDs actually begin in adolescence and in early adulthood, so between 12 somewhere there up to 2021, people actually have or can experience OCDs during that age range. So no medications have been shown to improve the quality of life when it comes to OCDs, but therapies to help, and just assuring people that it's gonna be okay, and making them feel like there's nothing different with them, and they're just like any other person out there. Just give them that assurance. Then lastly, I want to talk about post-traumatic stress disorders, because this is something that is common. There are so many people who've been traumatized growing up, so many people who've been traumatized in the past, and I think each one of us is just that story, which when we recall how things happened or how things occurred, we actually break down because we didn't know that it's going to put us in such a place. So I want to take a bit of time to explain about post-traumatic stress disorders. And looking at the pandemic that we had for the past 2 years, we've been, you know, surfing on COVID-19, and all these emotions have been coming up, and a lot of people have lost their loved ones. So there's a lot of stress and traumatic events which have happened. So anxiety kicks in at such a point. Post-traumatic stress disorder is actually also part of the anxiety disorders that develops in response to a stressful event or situation. So let's look out for this one as well. PTSD, as we call them, may develop after experiencing or witnessing an extreme overwhelming traumatic event, during which they left in fear, helplessness, or horror. Exposure to traumas such as serious accidents or natural disasters, criminal assaults, can result into PTSDs. Mm-hmm. There are people who have been involved in accidents, and you know, after they have healed from that accident, the real issue is their mental health, because whatever caused that accident, if it was a car accident, there's actually some level of trauma attached to them using that mode of transport. You find that someone starts stressing, someone starts having anxiety, they just start re-experiencing those events. At times it can be death of a loved one. If they died in a situation or in an event that was so traumatic, you find that people start actually, you know, those moments or episodes starts resurfacing, and someone just gets into anxiety. They start the avoidance behaviors, whereby whatever is similar to the situation, they are going to avoid. People start having nightmares, you know, they start having anger outbursts, you know, for no reason. Someone will just like burst out in anger. There's detachment, you know, they try to avoid situations, they try to avoid people, and they just get into a place where they just don't want to talk about that trauma, because every time they want to talk about it, it's more like it's reoccurring, so they would rather not talk about it. And this is very common in women, as in men. So the prevalence, it's just equal. It's not about, maybe females are more exposed to trauma than men, but this is something which affects both genders. So please, this is something which is very serious, looking at how life is. You know, life is so unpredictable, and a lot of people have got a past that they won't share with you, but you just see their response to certain situations. They have so much fear and worry. Let us take time to just reassure them. Let us take time to encourage them, and, you know, just run them through the whole process, you know, of how to actually displace their thoughts from that traumatic event to a more positive event in their lives. If you are a Christian like me, and if they are Christians, you can actually share scriptures with them and just assure them that, you know what, God is there for you, God is going to protect you, God has reserved you for a purpose, and everything is going to get back in place, because the word of God assures us that His plans, you know, are plans which will protect us, are plans which will not harm us. So we can use scripture, you know, as a form of thought displacement, where we get to concentrate on the positive things rather than the bad things which have happened. So behavioral therapy can be given, as well as antipsychotic drugs. So that marks the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to leave feedback by dropping a message right here on Anchor, or you can drop me a message on app, or better still, you can drop me an email. I'll be able to share with you my social media handles in the description for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your support. May you continue looking after yourself and watch out for mental health issues, because your mental health comes first. Have a productive week.